Memory Man, written by David Baldacci, read by Ron McLarty and Orla Cassidy. To Tom and Patty Maciag, go forth and have fun. You've earned it. Chapter 1. Amos Decker would forever remember all three of their violent deaths in the most paralyzing shade of blue. It would cut into him at unpredictable moments like a gutting knife made of colored light. He would never be free from it. The stakeout had been long and ultimately unproductive. Driving home, he had been looking forward to catching a few hours of sleep before hitting the streets once more. He'd pulled into the driveway of the modest two-story vinyl cider that was 25 years old and would take at least that long to pay off. The rain had slicked the pavement, and as his size 14 boots made contact, he slipped a bit before traction was gained. He closed the car door quietly, certain that all inside would be asleep at this late hour. He trudged to the screen door leading into the kitchen and let himself in. The quiet was to be expected. But the too quiet nature of the setting was not. He had not sensed that then, and later wondered why not. It was one of many failures on his part that night. He had paused in the kitchen to pour a glass of water from the tap. He chugged it, set the glass in the sink, wiped his chin dry, and headed to the next room. He slipped on the floor, and this time his big body tumbled. It was slick herringbone pattern parquet, and he had fallen before. Yet this time would be far different because of what he was about to observe. The moonlight had shafted in through the front window enough that he could see clearly. When he held up his hand, it was a different color. Red blood. It had come from somewhere, and he picked himself up to find out where. He discovered the source in the next room. Johnny Sachs, his brother-in-law. A big, burly fellow like him laid low. He bent closer, got on his knees, his face an inch or so from Johnny's. His throat had been slit from ear to ear. There was no need to check for a pulse. There could be none. Most of his blood was on the floor. He should have pulled his phone and hit 911 at that very moment. He knew better. He knew not to stampede around a crime scene, for that was what his home had become by virtue of the dead man, killed by violent means. It was now a museum. You didn't touch anything. His professional side screamed this at him. But this was only one body. His gaze jerked to the stairs and his mind suddenly disengaged as total panic seized every bit of him. The gut feeling that life had just robbed Decker of everything he would ever have. So he ran, his boots pushing, coagulating pools of blood outward like an incoming tide. He was destroying vital evidence, royally screwing up what should have been kept pristine. Right now, he didn't give a damn. He tracked Johnny's blood right up the stairs, taking the treads three at a time. His breaths were gasps, and his heart was pumping so fast and feeling so bloated. It was a wonder his chest wall could contain it. His mind seemed paralyzed, but his limbs were somehow still moving of their own accord. He hit the hallway, bounced off one wall and then its twin as he rocketed down to the first door on the left. He never took out his gun, not even bothering to think that the killer could still be there, waiting for him to come home. He smashed open the door with his shoulder and looked wildly around. Nothing. No, not true. He froze in the doorway as the light on the nightstand dimly illuminated the bare foot that protruded above the mattress on the far side. He knew that foot. He had held it, massaged it, and kissed it on occasion over many years. It was long, narrow, but somehow still dainty. The toe next to the big one slightly longer than it should have been. The veins on the side, the calluses underneath, the nails painted red.